From classics to curiosity, and where melodies meet me. Welcome to Music Exposed.
Oh, yeah. So this is funny because we had this dream or vision or whatever you want to call it now when, I don't know, we were around, let's say, 13-ish, right? And remember the story. The whole story is this. We were big in hip-hop, which I'm very proud to say. There was a time where I was like, but we were big in hip-hop. We were writing, we were freestyling, we were having fun, we were living that life of the time. As children, making music the way we could figure out how. So we went, by any means, we went to Long McQuaid. Not Long McQuaid, no. I don't think we had that available there. We went to Mountain Music, it was called.
Where did we go? Because we rented Steel a mixer. City. That's what it was.
Yeah, we rented a microphone. I think your dad had a mixer. I don't know. We borrowed something from your dad. We rented something that we needed.
He did have a mixer.
We went to a store and we grabbed some instrumentals. HMV. We grabbed some instrumentals, CDs. At least we're not saying records, so we're not that old. We grabbed some CDs and then we went to a destination, some family's house. I don't know if it was mine or yours anymore. It was your basement. Okay. The first time.
My basement.
And we started recording our lyrics over instrumentals, as any rapper of the time would have done. But then we had a dream. I had a dream that we would move to Toronto be rappers. And finally, here we are, years later, after doing everything but music, ended up both of us back in music in all sorts of different capacities. And you did realize the rap dream, though, because you did touch some stage. You did touch a Toronto stage in front of a big crowd.
You're right.
And you did drop some. Yeah.
Did touch a Toronto stage.
Funny how that happens, but.
That's funny.
Yeah, go ahead.
Remind me to ask you something.
Oh, yeah. It's like, why don't you say off, Mike? People are going to be like, what about us? Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. But it's interesting. It just reminded me of something. But yeah, it is hilarious when you think about some of those conversations that we had and to see where we are now. And it's like one way or another,
the road that we and isn't that something? It says a lot because as kids, before you're there's so many ways of saying it, but before you're programmed or reprogrammed, or you start taking on this other set of beliefs as to what is possible or what you can be. You go through that stage where anything's possible and you could be anything and you probably pretend to be everything, like as a child, right? I'm a fireman this day, I'm this the next day.
Exactly.
And that was, when you go back to those thoughts, if you can remember them, it's like, man, is this the true me? Is this was what I wanted to be before I thought about all the other possibilities or there's no money in music or this or that are the fake beliefs that were out there, right? That was our thing. We wanted to be rappers. I can't lie. I'm very grateful that that wasn't the path that I took personally because it's not as easy as some others in the industry and nothing's easy, but that's definitely a hustle
and
a lot of work that I wasn't willing to put into as far as marketing myself that way, but here we are.
A lot of people aren't willing to put in. A lot. But I think it's hard. Do you think it's got to be harder to be a rapper than like a budding R&B singer?
That's so true.
I've seen some try their hardest.
I just feel like now at this point with all that we've learned, it's all hard, obviously. But I feel like, okay, so R&B singer, you're going to get some corporate work. You're going to get some weddings if some people are against it, right? Like some people are artists only. They don't want to do covers. So that's tough. That's really tough.
Right. Yeah. And do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Because I've struggled with that too. And you know the ultimate decision I made. But it's like I know a lot of artists that are like dead set against doing covers. And it's been a hindrance to their career as opposed to, you know, living as their true self or whatever you want to call it as to why you don't want to do covers. But I would like to speak to somebody that has that opinion and kind of, you know, hear their side of the story. Cause I do kind of understand, but maybe they could explain it a little bit better, but I think, a gentle hybrid of both is important because, to be honest, yeah, unless your music is super, super fire, it's not going to resonate right away. However, if you can relate
a sweet cover,
a sweet cover or sweet cover, you can do a dope cover of any song that, you know, an audience can know, I think it would be
that's the beneficial thing, the exposure,
to
the right?
To kind of get their name out there. And
Oh,
you're a dope cover. Exactly. Exactly. So I'm always curious as to why some artists are dead set. And while I think the formula should be create, you always should be creating original music, come into the
basically
scene.
Leverage, but
kind of using that to get the exposure. And then then leverage that audience to expose your stuff and to debut your stuff, and hopefully
that's
in between your creation,
you
drop
that
another little cover, and you continue to kind of just
to me,
that makes the most sense to me. And yet, a lot of people are dead set against it. But I had an idea, and God willing, if I had the studio still to put it in, I would have wanted to implement something where
like a develop, you know, but along the realms
of
development.
I don't want to say it out loud because.
Right.
And just kind of, you know, helping people get that exposure. Because in Canada, I still think we struggle to get exposure to an audience that's thirsty. Every time I go, I think about Much Music and what that represented for the bigger names and sometimes the smaller names. It was a destination where you knew you had eyes. Everybody went there, so obviously the young pups or
there's a level of attractiveness, right? Yeah,
right, right. Yeah, it's a look. It's a musical staple that everybody kind of knows,
incredible,
and can be drawn to, and expose you to music that like. That you never heard of before. So you'd watch Rap City, but then right after Rap City was
from all across Canada and beyond.
You'd never heard of.
It was cool. And it was an industry. It was an industry.
Right. And I think that there's right. It wasn't. And it was like these young DJs that were just passionate about music, exposing you to music. And I think that Canada needs that still. We need a spot that everybody can kind of go. This is the place for XYZ. And
It's hard to say now because we talked about last week, AI. So that's one part of this. But then you still have the whole virtual world that we're living in as well.
Yeah.
So it's that thing. Like, are people willing to get together? Are people willing to make – like, it has to be established first these days. Like, now everything seems to me to be like proof of concept.
Right, it's
a great idea in theory. Yeah, it's been done before and it worked magnificently. But who's going to build it, like build the infrastructure to the place that it needs to be before I'm willing to come in with my, whether you're talented or not. But let's just say with my very little credibility, you know, I'm a new artist. But even still, because I could put myself on Instagram in front of 100,000, a million people. It seems to me like people just aren't willing to do what it would have. Like, you don't have the dog in you the same way as people did in years before now, right? Like, putting yourself out there as far as leaving your house for something other than a photo shoot, no diss. But, like, Much Music, you were going down, like, you had to drive to a place and maybe fight for a chance to be seen or be heard or talk to the right person. Like, there was a lot of hustling that was happening behind the scenes, not just like, let me throw this. And see if it sticks. Let me see if someone notices this post today. Let's see if I could go viral by doing this. Like, it's just a different game. So the ideas that we have and that you just described, is there still a place for that? In Canada, let me specify.
Well, that's a good question.
Yep.
I would say personally, and maybe I'm biased, I feel that
still believe it
could thrive. And I still believe strongly in the magic of live performances,
live audiences.
And, I believe live audiences and the energy. You know, one of the guests that we hope to have on real soon is one of those examples that I have of, you know, it's one thing to see her perform on TV or on YouTube, but it's another thing to be in the room.
Who are you talking about?
Feel it. Like, there's a feeling you get.
Oh, yeah. That so lady, she's actually Patricia Shirley, next guest that we're going to interview after today. Yeah. So she'll be our next round. And yeah, she is dynamic. She is she's a beast.
Got you.
Powerhouse. Yeah. Continue with your thought. I just wasn't sure if you're talking about her or not.
Yeah. No. So it's just like, that's one of the examples. And there's been so many shows and so many times I've been in a room and the energy that's in that room is unexplainable. And especially, I know people might not like this, but growing up and even to this day, you go around a good gospel room where the energy is there. Everyone's kind of in the right frame of mind and willing to receive this, you know, the gospel music that's coming out. It's magical. It's next level. True. And there's something there that I think humans will always need. So I'm not saying it's going to be on the scale of much music, but to have a small place where that can happen,
man, to me, it'd be nice.
Is absolutely necessary. And
it'd be nice.
I really want to.
Yeah. And for, I'm just, you said much music. I'm thinking, cause even for us, I don't know if you went down, but for myself, it was still almost the virtual experience back then. Cause we weren't going down. Like there was a lot, there was a community of people that were
going
down there that were seeing the shows, seeing the artists live on the streets. Toronto was a long way for us. So we weren't making it down there for that. Yeah. So I imagine what their experience is.
That's true.
And we were
younger too.
Like, I don't think we were
allowed. And we were younger though at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
true.
If we were in our teens or thing, I think
dancing on
you and
Queen
Jay
Street?
Would have been dancing on.
Oh, wow.
You're on now. Electric Circus.
Dancing on Electric Circus. Oh, man.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me there wasn't a period of time that you and him would have not considered.
Just shout out to he was down there several times. On electric strongly circus, believe but not on that. Camera. Yeah, for sure.
I will believe that.
I could also admit
that.
Now,
and I think
with
you
no shame,
have been there at one point
that the only reason why I didn't go is because I missed my ride. I was gonna go with them once. Thank God I didn't, because I'd be the fool that ended up on camera when they didn't.
So funny.
And you'd be pulling it out
camera,
right now.
Yeah,
but it was good times. But yeah, I'm saying, imagine what the experience of the people who are actually down there seeing, like, because you got everyone from Kurt Cobain to like Tupac.
Yeah,
it was just, it didn't matter what your style was. It was the place to go. So yeah, the live shows must have been crazy. Especially, I know they had some stuff that was more like impromptu, right? Artist shows up or like, it's just, it would have been a different world. Different type of scene, different memories. But
absolutely. Yeah. You don't think that could ever happen again, even if it was just like an online channel that dedicated to getting
online.
Everyone
I
can
see it.
Go to this site, and you're
going to
see
things
all
like
the
Tiny Desk. That's a big example, but that's like global, I guess. That's American, and we can't
that's
really
American,
copy.
And it's
It's
not as organic.
I mean,
well, you could, and I think people have tried.
People keep
but
trying
it hasn't
until it
really
works.
Worked.
I think that's just the way. I think that's. I feel like that's the formula of today.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, you just keep trying, or someone else is going to keep trying, because you just don't know.
And some things, and this is what happens a lot in television, especially North America, they take ideas from other countries and try and like convert them over, and not all the time does those conversions work. One of my favorite music shows is called Later with Jules Holland.
Okay.
And Jules Holland, it was on BBC, and Jules Holland is a piano player, and the show would start with, you know, he's in a circle. So imagine a big circular stage, and I'm just naming. It was so random, but it would be like Red Hot Chili Peppers are in one corner as a band set up playing, and then the camera would pan to the right, and it would be like John Legend, and he'd be at a piano playing, and then it would keep going around in the circle, and it would be like, you know. It was always random. It was never like a group of R&B people. It would be like Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Legend, Florence and the Machine. I think that's the name of the group. Forgive me if I got that wrong.
This is a real thing, like all in the same
Melanie
room.
Melanie Gardot, and then, you know, a real show all in the same room. And then like John Mayer, and they would start where he would play a little like riff at the beginning and all the band would kind of just play along. And that was the intro. The audience is clapping. And then he'd be like, welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. No real like long fanfare at the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to it. Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they would play a song. And be like, oh, that was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now our next guest, he would say something. It was just an organic, fun music show where there wasn't really like you knew the Red Hot Chili Peppers were promoting an album or, you know, clearly John's trying to promote something. That's what happens in North America. Anyone that comes on a show, they're promoting an album, they're promoting something they're doing. Whereas this, it was just they're in London, they were asked to be on the show, and they're just going to perform some songs. And that format not only was really, 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 really a brilliant format, but the idea, I think, was stolen and brought to Canada in the early 2000s by Elvis Costello and CTV. And it didn't really work because they overproduced it, in my opinion. And I think they just tried too hard. And if you just tried to keep, and that's what I love about British programming and you know, other places, don't try to overproduce it too much. They just kind of do their thing. And if it works, it works. And I think that a lot of times North America tries to do a little too much. It's overproduced. They're really over-visualized, if that's even a word. But like, they overproduce these shows too much. And it ruins
the, organic,
the experience. And I think sometimes we get in our own way. Yeah, it's got to be. But that show, if you get a chance, check it out later with Jules Holland.
That's crazy.
It's my favorite. And it introduced me to so many different bands. Like Kurt Elling. I never heard of Florence and the Machine before. I believe that's the name. Even like Kings of Leon. There's another lady that's from Cape Verde. I forget her name, but she sings a song called Mana. Melanie Gardot, who to me is one of my... She's so... If it makes sense, but she's got such a...
Okay.
I don't want to say simple because I don't want to diminish how beautiful her voice is. But there's so much beauty in her simplicity, the way she sings a song, and the way she
just... I
gotta
take some notes on this.
Carries herself.
Names.
It's
really okay.
It's really, really brilliant. But yeah. So it really helped me expose me to more
and that's and a become big part fans of this too, right?
Rodrigo y Gabriela.
Yep.
Exactly, which is a huge part is the exposure. And I think some people have done it right. And I think there could still be something like that. Maybe not on that scale because
fair enough.
The DBC budget and their ginormous, you know, organization. And two, like to get
that's all those like, iconic. That's why I didn't it sounded like something day. Where they pieced it together, but task, all in one day. Oh man. That's cool.
Right. But imagine having like some like a cool headliner, like someone everyone knows, and then someone we think is cool that, you know, the world hasn't heard of yet, that could really use the exposure. So I think there's something there where you could kind of have a mishmash of one person everybody knows that would bring the audience
and then expose
the audience to other
people. Yeah, I guess there's ideas for days, man. Yeah, I'd love to see something like that on any level, just allowing music to be music, allowing artists and creators to create and have a platform to share their work.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, well, circling back. So the reason why it's hard for me to imagine something like a Much Music or anything on that scale without it being overproduced and having like big industry involved is because it seems like there's a whole level. I don't know if it's the lowest level. I don't know how many levels there are, but just live music venues have taken such a hit, and probably for so many reasons, the costs of maintaining venues, and then on the flip side, the lack of support or attendance or interest in from people going to live shows that aren't put on by big artists or anyone with a big following. What are you going to say there?
I think that part of it, though, we've learned the hard way what the real problem is with some of these shows not being attended to properly. And we've seen the flip side of
so
when
we've learned it both ways.
The marketing is on point.
Gotcha.
And the So I think there's some accountability
Let's break that down.
That can be made there for
because
some of
we
these
try
shows
what would we call it? What do you call it? Like a street team approach?
Sure.
And we did okay. Guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So guerrilla, depending on the venue size, I don't know, you might need more people if you go to a larger scale. But say like a 400 whatever person venue, you can fill out with word of mouth, a little bit of sharing online, which we didn't do much of in those cases. But like we had people on the streets literally like shaking hands and saying, what's up, come out to the show, handing out flyers. Old school, man. Might as well have had some CDs in the trunk. But it worked for the scale, right? And we tried to scale that approach up a bit. Didn't have quite the success. Mm-hmm. I think we probably matched the success in the in a bigger room, so it didn't feel quite as good.
But I think, again, if we had handled
the marketing gone beyond the street, the guerrilla marketing, you're saying?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, true. And give ourselves more time to market. I think that was the other problem. Like, a lot of people think that they can fill up a room in 1, 2, 3 months, and I would argue that you need a minimum of 6 months. Because think about, if you think about, like, the ads I see right now, even when Taylor Swift, she's not coming out, she wasn't coming out until late this year, and they were selling her tickets last year, right? So when you think about if Taylor Swift is going to a stadium and, you know, obviously the scale is much grander, but you could dumb that down. She gave herself a year and a bit to sell tickets, and they sell out quickly, but still, too, you had a year to market.
Sooner the better.
Right, right. And I think that a lot of people don't give themselves the proper marketing strategy.
Strategy is the word.
Promoting their shows, and they think just off of the strength of their friends and family and word of mouth that it's going to work. And I can't stress enough that, and I've learned this in business, I'm sure you have too, that marketing matters. And if you don't have a marketing plan, I honestly worry about your ability to scale or even you know, grow your business. And I would argue for artists that the same applies in music. You should be minimum, have your calendar mapped out for the year.
At least some big goals on the year that you're marketing towards,
months
right?
And months in
advance.
That's
true. Yep.
Right. Right. And I think that to me seems to be the number one red flag that I've seen in just local shows that I've gone to that are struggling to get filled. They don't give themselves enough time, and they don't really have a, I don't want to say robust, but just
yeah, it needs like to be a plan.
Execute a smart marketing plan. And we've been guilty of that. I don't want to put that on like everyone. And I've seen what happens when
on the flip side
an
of what
effective
we did first,
marketing
right?
plan gets put out.
Yeah.
And the results.
And it seemed like the venue size didn't seem to be a factor when the marketing. But again, that was 8 months out, 9 months out.
At all.
Strictly online, but targeting, reaching the right people and some strategic placement of ads and all that good stuff that needs to come in. These are valuable tools.
Because there's another, I'll tell you off mic, but there's another group that's doing really well, and they're touring locally and they're selling out decent size spaces. And so to me, I think there is an audience for live
music. It still
exists,
right?
I would argue that it's a hot ticket item.
It should be stronger now. It really should.
Dying need for it. It's just we as a community need to get 100%. Yeah. It blows my mind that it's not. But again, there's so much segmented groups, and there's so much, we're so sparse in terms of just coming together in the community.
And that's even like
to really kind
of
find
like a music community, even. It's just
grow this thing.
And if you could break it down further than that.
Right.
But overall, it's very divided. And I mean, again, it's like, I don't know if it stems from fear, because if you're an artist, it's really important to get your music out there. It should be, I assume, right? But then there's so
that's
much.
That's the goal.
Because now it could be overwhelming. I'm sure we've talked about this before. When you think some of the things you mentioned already today, the marketing, so social media, if you have an event coming up, selling tickets, keeping up the image, creating the music, staying relevant, building, growing your craft, like there's a lot. And all this is free. Like you haven't made a dollar until you've actually sold a ticket or sold a product. So the majority of the work in the day to day until or unless you establish or find other avenues, nobody's paying you to do. It could be scary.
Right. And that's tough. But I think that, again, I've seen another mistake of, like you said, there's a lot that goes into it. And people put all their eggs in the image basket and the, you know, the visuals basket. And it's, you know, with no money for marketing, nobody cares how cool you look beside that, that car or, you know, the set that you created for this image that's not real that you now have to uphold. And now you're spending more free of your hard earned money
other thing right
trying
there.
To uphold the image, you know?
It's like, and yeah, it's the rabbit hole goes deep.
And I think it's kind of backwards. Yeah. You should be working on, you know, your craft and making the music and just keep putting it out, trying to get, you know, that stage time, raggedy as, you know, bummy and whatever, where you can wear nice clothes. Wear, you know,
I'm
my
different.
Clothes,
my clothes are different now.
But you don't wear expensive level. Clothes. No, no. But I'm just saying, like, you can look good in some like normal clothes that don't have to break your budget. Sure. You don't need to wear the name brands. Exactly. And I think artists need to really hone in on that part, living within their means. Because if you can sing,
isn't that true? And sometimes you could, sometimes the best voices are like, you know, the style thing, but it could be more like, you know, until you open your mouth, it'd be like, what the heck? But it's true. It's the gift that's in you.
And most of them don't have a style until they get a stylist, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I know some very famous artists that looked bummy and looked weird, and you could tell they had no sense of fashion, but they were talented.
It's biblical,
and eventually
man.
The image will come. People
Your
will
gift
you
will
up,
make room for
and
you.
They'll lace you
put
in
you
the nice
before
clothes,
great man. And I truly believe that. It's not going to happen necessarily as quickly as, I'll say we, as quickly as we want it, or on your time, on my time.
On your timeline.
But it will happen. Yeah. I truly believe that it's just a matter of chipping away every day, setting goals, working towards your goals, developing yourself from the inside out constantly, consistently. Yep. And it's got it.
Developing an appetite for shit.
Kinda lost
and
me
I
on
say
that,
that
one, dog.
In terms of just being able to eat. Because you're going to go through a lot of
But
crap.
Yes, you have to.
I'm telling you, in your
Deal
life,
with hard
in my
times,
life,
is that what
you're
saying?
You're going to like, have to get a
thick. Worst. This is the worst phrase I've ever heard. Ever.
You're going to eat plates of shit. I had somebody at a very big, a very big company. I won't say the name of the company that I worked for. Iconic brand in Canada.
Gotcha.
And they were literally talking about, you know, that analogy. Being being able to eat. Eat plates
Starting
of
from
shit
the bottom,
because
right?
You're gonna have
right, so don't
a lot
expect
of hardships.
Caviar when you're
exactly,
and that I mean, and you've said some of that too. I've been guilty
and
of
celebrate
not
the small victories.
I'm better at it now, but that is important. That is important because when you're grinding and you're so focused on getting to a place or creating a thing, you could just take these wins as like, okay, now what can I do better?
Yeah.
So yeah, celebrate those victories for sure.
Right,
but I can't say it enough. It's not where you are right now. It's I believe that it's who you believe that you can become, and then you have to embody that person and be that person. So yeah, it's going to take a while maybe to sell people on the fact that yeah, I have a nice voice, but I can do more with it, or you know, I have a talent in this area. Especially if you're doing, we never talk to these people. Especially if you're doing something else, if you're in IT or if you're working at, I don't know, Burger King, but you're an artist, you're a creator or whatever, you have a bigger dream. It's hard to go from where you are now to where you want to be when your reality is so far from where you are. And I think that's where the consistency every day of just, I don't want to say grinding, it is grinding, but just consistently doing the things to make yourself better at what you want to do. And it sometimes it means staying away from other distractions just to build yourself. We've seen people who kind of almost go into hiding, like you don't hear from them too much. And then they come out on the other side and you're like, whoa, what were you doing? Like it takes time to develop. There's the whole 10,000 hours thing, whatever it is, right? I didn't want to say,
I remember
I
that,
say me.
That
I said people,
you.
Whatever.
I'll speak on it. I'll speak on it though. But I remember a time where yeah, we were living life. Life was great. Young, you know, we were making mistakes. We're young and dumb, full of cum, and we were just running around these streets.
A pastor listens to this podcast.
I got to spice it up, man. We got to spice it up. Try to take this pod to the next level, bro. down in the basement. And I knew you'd played bass, right? We had known you disappeared. You left the city. You were out in Brampton. We didn't really get to see you that often. And me, was it me and Omari or me and Andrew went up to go visit you. And all of a sudden, you're freaking Silky Lavender. And it was like,
oh, man, this is why you should be on stage. You should be on stage.
We're like, Silky Lavender. This kid can slap the bass. What's going on? And it was inspiring. And like, it was incredible to see because true. I knew what it sparked in my little brother. And even in me, it was inspiring and motivating. And Andrew's oh, snap. And he got on his grizzy too. And now his drums are top notch. And you're right. When you get low and you don't know what people are doing, and then all of a sudden they come out and they're like, oh, snap. I love seeing that.
So that's it, man. I hope, I feel like we've helped somebody. Yeah. You've helped me. It's good. I'm going to check out some of the artists that you mentioned, but also it's just a good reminder sometimes that where you are now isn't where you're destined to be. And there's greater in me, there's greater in you, there's greater in all of us.
100%.
So it's just a matter of we're not going to wait on somebody else to discover you discover me and pull it out. I'm going to find ways to get it out of me every day. A better me makes me happier, makes me more whole, and it makes me better able to serve you, be a friend, be a everything to everybody else I need to be. So keep that in mind. Any last words?
Wholeheartedly agree. Improve yourself and everything around you will improve.
I like that.
I'm a living testament of that.
That's the challenge right now. Change one thing, give yourself one better habit and watch how it affects everything else that you're doing. Find one thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm literally going to try that today because you mentioned that. I'm going to try and change one thing.
Let's do it. I'll find my one thing too.
I like it. I like it.
It is always a pleasure, man.
All right, bro. It's always great talking to you.
Stay well. Yes, sir.
Stay safe, everybody. Peace.